I will be reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word, beloved.
We have the Word of God before us this morning. Let's now bow our heads. Let's ask God's help as we study this together this morning. May God be glorified. Let's pray. Father, thank you for worship this morning. Father, it astounds me that in our great weakness and our great failings that we can still worship you. We continue to come to you, thanking you for Jesus, thanking you that he made the way for worship. He made the way for a relationship with you. And God, even as we continue this morning to look at Peter, God, may we be encouraged in you that you don't give up on us, and that when we fail, that you work to restore us. So we praise you and thank you. Keep our attention upon you, Father. Help me, Lord, as I would present truth this morning and work in my heart and work in the hearts of your people together. Father, may we just submit ourselves to you with a desire to glorify you and to exalt you, God, as you change us this morning by your Spirit through your word. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Jesus is dead. He was betrayed by a friend. He was forsaken by his followers. He was condemned by his own people. He was put to death by the government. And now it's over. It's done. For Peter, the last 3 years have been like a dream turned into a nightmare. But it's over. It's finished. It's done. Jesus was his friend, his leader, his teacher, his hope. In his own words, he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But now, he's dead. He's laid in a borrowed tomb with all the faith and the hope and the expectation of those who loved him and followed him. But for Peter, it could not be completely over. It couldn't be completely finished. Because the emptiness is still there, and the guilt is ever present, and the shame will not go away. He had failed the Lord when the Lord needed him the most. He had denied him 3 times, and now Peter will live with that failure the rest of his life. And as Peter looks around that upper room where the disciples have gathered, he knows it's time to go home. It's over. But then he hears the voice of Mary. And what does she say? They have taken the Lord's body. And so Peter begins to run. And he looks, and John is running with him. And when he enters the tomb, he takes a long, intent look. And to his amazement, the body is gone. It's not there. I mean, is it possible? Is it true that the Lord is alive? What can this mean? In the next few hours and days and weeks, the life of Simon Peter, the fisherman, the follower, the failure, will change forever. You see, folks, God is always working to move His people to trust Him. And from Peter, we'll learn today how to trust God for restoration. How did the resurrected Lord restore Peter? And how will the resurrected Lord restore us when we fail Him? Let's look now at Peter. First of all, I want you to see that there was forgiveness by the Lord. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And look with me at verse 7. Mark chapter 16. Verse 7. We have here the words of the angels, and it's very simple. Mark records it. He writes, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Now we think about this morning. We think about everything that's happening. You know, when Brother David was reading that passage, I thought to myself, well, perhaps the congregation thinks I've got my dates mixed up and we're working on an Easter message this morning, but not quite. But yet that's the event that's taking place in the life of Peter. Can you imagine the utter sorrow of suddenly losing a loved one, and the last thing that loved one heard you say was an unkind word or a word of anger or a word of shame? So put yourself in Peter's place just for a moment. Can't you just hear Peter saying to himself, "I denied him with curses, and I swore that I did not know him. And he heard me, and he even looked at me. And I'll never have a chance to say another word to him because he's gone and he's dead. And those eyes can't look at me now, and those lips will not speak again, and that hand will not rest on my shoulder. He is dead. And though I'm sorry and I've repented of my sin, I will never know his personal forgiveness." You see, folks, unforgiven sin can bring despair. It can bring discouragement, disappointment in our lives. But as Peter now hears these words of the angel spoken to the women, "Tell his disciples and Peter." There's hope in that despair. There's light in that darkness. As Peter rushes to the tomb and he looks inside and he sees those grave clothes neatly in place, perhaps the Lord is alive. And perhaps forgiveness is possible. Now to we, who have failed the Lord, to we who have sinned against Him. These are words of comfort. These are words of consolation. Psalm 86 verse 5 says, "The Lord is ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy." And folks, the words of the women and the empty grave and the grave clothes all point to the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and forgiveness from Jesus Christ can take place. And as Peter begins to walk home, the events and the circumstances, I'm sure, are turning over and over in his mind. Could it be? Is this possible? Can my sins be forgiven by my Savior? And later that day, Peter's hope becomes reality. Turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And look at verses 33 and 34. So Jesus appears to disciples on the road to Emmaus, and that's what we have in this passage. Luke writes, and he says, verse 33, "So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.'" See, the Lord speaks to those two disciples. He meets with them on the road to Emmaus, and after their meeting, they return to the 11. And then they hear this good news that the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. See, what I want you to see is that over and over, when we even see this record of the resurrection, that the Scripture writers, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they let us know that there was special attention for this man Peter. And brothers and sisters, he needed it. He denied the Lord. Remember the passage last week that we looked at, that after he denied the Lord looked at him, he denied him. The Scripture said that he went away weeping bitterly. You see, there was a burden on his heart. There was a heaviness in his heart and how he had responded to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon, to Peter. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have another example. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we know that as the great resurrection chapter. Paul is describing here the eyewitnesses of the resurrection, and he mentions a meeting between the Lord and Peter. Look what he says. We'll begin with verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas," that's Peter, "then to the 12. All folks, in His great mercy and His great grace, the resurrected Lord meets with Peter face to face. And we don't know exactly when that took place or where this meeting took place. We know that it took place before Jesus appeared to the other disciples. We have no record of what was said in the Scriptures. But we do know that the Lord met with Peter privately. And perhaps it's best that there is no record. Brothers and sisters, there are times when no third person should hear what goes on between the child, between the believer and their Savior, Jesus Christ. And so they met. And I'm sure that the Lord was tender, and I'm certain that He was compassionate, and I know that He showed great patience and love to this follower, this disciple named Peter. You see, Peter would later write to believers in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, and he would say, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." And perhaps Jesus said the same words to Peter that he would say to us, Peter, I have been to the cross, and by my blood, Peter, your sins are forgiven. And Peter would later write to believers in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. He would say this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, received from your aimless conduct by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, what was manifest in these last times for you who believe in him, or believe in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Brothers and sisters, what that means is that by this same cross and by this same blood that our sins are forgiven, and by that same death and resurrection, our faith and our hope are in God. And I believe that in that meeting, we have no record of what was said, but surely Peter now learns the full meaning of the cross and the result of the resurrection. You see, the Lord met with him. And Peter needed that. And I believe this morning that we can know the very same thing. Are your sins forgiven today? See, another way to say that, have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your God and your Savior, as the one who was crucified and raised from the dead? Are your sins forgiven? That's the only way that sins can be forgiven. It's only through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that forgiveness of sins can take place. The resurrected Lord wants to restore us. And we, even His children, even those who are His disciples, we who have followed Him, when we fall and when we fail, He desires to restore us and bring us back to Himself. He will forgive our sins. There's a second step we see in Peter's life. Go to John chapter 20, back to John chapter 20. And let's talk about fellowship with the Lord. You see, the Lord would forgive him, and the Lord desires fellowship with him. John chapter 20, let's begin with verse 19. Then the same day of evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, true forgiveness means that sin is sent away, that fellowship is restored. And as Peter sat with those disciples that evening, he knew that his sins were forgiven. You see, Peter had already met with the Lord. He had already spent time with him. And his private meeting with the Lord that day, I believe, guaranteed that forgiveness. They had come together to deal with the sin of Peter. But could it ever be the same between them? See, folks, there's no question that sin breaks fellowship and communion between the believer and the Lord Jesus. And yet, when we look at this passage, I think the answer came when the Lord appeared to Peter and to the other disciples. Look at the evidence in this passage of their fellowship. First of all, there was peace. Verse 19 says, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be with you. Peter and the others had just gone through the blackness of despair and despondency and discouragement. There was the arrest of Jesus. There was the trial. There was the crucifixion.
There was the fear of the Jews. There was the reports of the empty tomb, and it had left them troubled and in turmoil. But now the resurrected Lord appears to them in the group, all of them together. His words are full of mercy and grace. And you know, it just popped in my mind when I say all of them together, there was still one missing, and that was Thomas. And you know, that's a message in itself. And yet Jesus appears to the group. And this was some group who was before him. Peter had denied him. The others had run away. They had forsaken him. And does he demand an explanation from them? Does he say that they're finished and he'll no longer have them as disciples? I mean, he could have said, shame on you for what you did. But what does he say? Peace be upon you. You see, he doesn't come from the grave in judgment upon their failure, but he comes in the peace of restored fellowship. The forgiveness of sin brings peace with God and with others. He came in peace. Notice also that he showed them proof. See, we're talking about fellowship here. Verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So this was no vision, this was no spirit, this was no hallucination. He showed them his hands, the wounds in his hands, the wound in his side. He proved he indeed was the one that they had followed and the one whom they could have fellowship with now. He's alive. This is this same Jesus. And this fellowship would be real as he appeared to them in the next 40 days many times. And it would indeed be precious. And brothers and sisters, he provides that same fellowship for us. Yes, when we fail, and yes, when we fall, and yes, when we falter, we come to him for forgiveness. He restores us. Look at verse 20. There's a third characteristic of this fellowship. There was joy. Then the disciples were glad when they saw him. What gladness and rejoicing no doubt filled their hearts to know that the Lord was alive. And even in their weakness and even in their failings, they loved him, and his presence brought great joy and gladness to their hearts. You see, folks, there's always rejoicing and there's always gladness in the presence of one whom we love. True fellowship brings joy. They were experiencing fellowship right there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 21. There was also responsibility. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. The living Lord gave them a position of service. And as God had sent Christ, and as Christ had accomplished that service, now Peter and the rest of the disciples must do the same. You see, folks, the gospel must be proclaimed. The gospel must be shared. And one of the clearest evidences of a restoration is obedience in serving. It's obeying the Lord. It's doing what the Lord wants. These disciples have now graduated and they have become apostles, those sent on a mission. Fellowship with the Lord always brings the responsibility of service. The Lord desires our fellowship. Peter experienced that. These disciples experienced that. I ask you this morning, are you in fellowship with the Lord today? See, I speak to God's people. I speak to the followers of Jesus Christ. Are you in fellowship with Him? Or is there something in your life that's blocking that? Is there a hindrance to that fellowship? We see in this passage that Jesus desires that fellowship. Is there peace with Him and with others? Is there joy and gladness as you fellowship with Him? Is there service for others in His name? See, these are the evidences of fellowship. What we see then, folks, is that step by step, The resurrected Lord is bringing Peter back to himself. He's restoring Peter to that closeness and fellowship with him. There's a third step, and that's following the Lord. Look at John 21. John chapter 21. So the restoration of Peter is now almost complete. His sin is forgiven. His fellowship is renewed. And now the resurrected Lord puts the cross of submission in front of Peter and says to him, "Follow me." See, restoration in Peter's life will be complete when the submission of self, the submission of Peter, takes place to the Savior. Now here in John chapter 21, we don't know exactly the time frame. Perhaps days have passed, weeks have passed. But Peter and some of the disciples are fishing, and the Lord appears to them. And this meeting, I believe, is especially for Peter. Though others are there, it's for Peter. We're told here that the Lord builds a fire. It was at a fire that Peter denied him. Three times the Lord questions Peter's love. Three times Peter had denied the Lord. And now the Lord brings Peter face to face with himself. And with the control. Who controls your life, Peter? Who rules your life, Peter? The Lord goes to two areas in Peter's life, and I think we can put those in the form of questions. Here's the first one. Do you love me, Peter? Brothers and sisters, you realize that's a question that we need to ask all the time, constantly in our lives. Do I love him? And when we're faced with decisions or we're faced with circumstances or temptations, ask the question, do I love him? This is the question that the Lord asked Peter. Look at verse 15, John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Now, I think that these there probably are the fishing nets and all the things that go on with fishing. Do you love these more than me? And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So three times the Lord asked him, "Do you love me?" The first two times, the Lord uses a word that represents the highest form of love, a sacrificial love, a giving love. We know it as agape love. And Peter, who now knows himself much better than he did before, says yes, but he uses a word that's translated love, and it means affection. Or the love of a brother. It's a different word that Peter uses. It's not the same word that the Lord uses. And Peter dares not use that word that the Lord used. Because on the night of his arrest, it was Peter said, "Though all forsake you, I will not." See, Peter's been given a glimpse of his own heart. And finally, the Lord uses that lower word for love, the one that Peter used. "Do you even love me in this way, Peter?" And Peter said, "You know that I love you in this way." Brothers and sisters, there can never be a restoration from sin and failure until we focus our love
on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he earned that love at Calvary. He deserves that love because of the resurrection. And there can be no true love in the life of the Christian apart from first loving the Lord. Do you love me? Is what he said to Peter. There's a second question. We don't see the question in these words, but this is what Jesus is talking about. Here's the way I would say it. Well, how will you prove that love, Peter? How will you prove that you love me? Look at verse 18. Jesus says to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." And this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." So I go back to that previous part of the passage, and I'm thinking about this question: how will you prove that love, Peter? Well, first of all, Peter would prove his love by his service. Three times Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And three times Jesus answered very clearly, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." You see, folks, I think what Jesus means here is love is more than talk. You can say that you love someone. Let's get specific. You can say that you love the Lord, but what is the proof? What's the action that comes with that love? And Jesus said to Peter, "Then take care of my people. Feed them and tend them and feed them." In other words, give yourself to my people, to the church, Peter. Peter would prove his love by obeying the Lord in serving God's people. But then in verse 18, I think Peter would prove his love in submission. Now, let me give you verse 18 again, and I'll give it in, I'll just call this my translation. It would go something like this: "Peter, you have been your own master, and you have made your own choices, and you have followed self in your life. But Peter, there is coming an hour when someone else will gird you and bind you and crucify you on your own cross. And just as I have put aside self and suffered shame and gave my life, Peter, you must do the same. Follow me." Now, right there on that seashore, there was no wooden cross. That would come later for Peter. But brothers and sisters, there was a cross. There was a death to self that needed to take place in Peter's life. Jesus said, "Follow me." And Peter would die to self. He would submit to the Lord. The scripture record and church tradition relates to us that Peter indeed followed the Lord. And though he struggled at times with his submission, he focused his love on the Lord by preaching the gospel and by teaching believers and by suffering persecution in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scriptures don't tell us, but church tradition states that Peter was crucified in Rome during the reign of Nero, the Roman emperor. And tradition also says that he was unwilling to be crucified like his Lord, but in humility and submission, he requested to be crucified upside down. Peter followed the Lord. And we, as his disciples, must do the same. You see, folks, the resurrected Lord brought Peter to this point of complete restoration. He followed him. He became like him. He'll do the same for us. There's an old hymn that is entitled, "Oh, the Bitter Shame and Sorrow," and I think it describes Peter's life and ours. Listen to the words. "Oh, the bitter shame and sorrow that a time could ever be when I let the Savior's pity plead in vain and proudly answered all of self and none of thee. Yet he found me. I beheld him bleeding on that cursed tree, heard him pray, 'Forgive them, Father,' and my wistful heart said faintly, 'Some of self and some of thee.' And day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, sweet and strong and also patient, brought me lower while I whispered, 'Less of self and more of thee.' And higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last hath conquered. Grant me now my supplication, none of self and all of thee." That's following Jesus. How do you respond to the failures and the fallings in your Christian life? The Lord restored Peter. Peter's life was changed. And ours too can be changed as the Lord restores us when we fail. God is always working to move His people to trust Him. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father, for the glimpse of Peter's life. Oh, Lord, do we see ourselves? Help us. And Father, by your Spirit today, take this record of Peter's life and God, restore those who have fallen. Restore the weak and the failing. And God, may we be reminded by your Spirit when we do fail to remember Peter and to look to our Savior, to look to God the Son, to come to you through Him and to be restored for your glory. Thank you, God, for this great mercy and grace. We praise you for your faithful work in our lives. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.